Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. We've had a lot of questions from viewers come in, so today we're going to spend the entire program answering your questions. Pastor Brock, our first question today.
Yep. Mona, I forgot. We got to pray before we answer these questions. Somebody wrote us in and said, how come you pray before you preach, but you don't pray before a Q&A? So let's do that.
Let's do that.
Father, we pray now your Holy Spirit would just speak to us as we go through these various questions people have. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's always nice to start off with prayer.
It is.
Pastor Brock, is it wrong for a Christian to take antidepressants? Does this show a lack of faith?
I don't think it's wrong. It's like saying, is it wrong for a Christian to take an aspirin? Or if it's wrong, if I break my leg, to put a cast on it. Mm-hmm. Luke was a doctor in the New Testament, and Paul says to Timothy, take a little wine for the sake of your frequent stomach ailments. Mm-hmm. So I think taking medicine and using the blessing of doctors is just fine. God can heal miraculously, and He does, but He also can use doctors to heal us.
Amen.
Yep.
Are there certain hymns that are good for fighting worry?
I think every Christian should have a hymn book in their house. You can go to the websites out, just type in Christian hymnal and find a good. And so, like when you get worried, what a friend we have in Jesus. Have you trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. So just to sing a good hymn when you're depressed. I love the contemporary hymns too, like Be Still and Know That I Am God, Be Still. And you just sing these things. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a good way to fight worry. I remember an old pastor saying, when you're depressed or worried, take out the Bible, turn to the book of Psalms. A lot of those are laments, where mm-hmm. the person's talking about how much trouble they're in, and just read a psalm out loud. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
Keep reading until that anxiety starts to flee.
Yeah, there you go.
At one time, you spoke of a certain question to ask when finding a church to go to. Could you tell me what they are? I feel God pushing me to go back to church, but I don't know which one to go to.
Yes, and we've shared this a number of times, yes. But let me do it again. If you're church shopping, you want to make sure you get a good biblical Lutheran church and not a crazy radical church, or a good Methodist church and not a crazy radical Methodist church. Very easy to mm-hmm. spot the difference. You're shaking hands. The pastor's shaking hands. At the end, you go up to the pastor. Pastor, I'm thinking of attending this church, mm-hmm. but can I just ask you a few questions about what you believe? Number one, do you believe the Bible is the infallible Word of God? Number two, do you believe there's a heaven and a hell? Mm-hmm. You'd be surprised how many pastors don't believe in hell anymore. Number three, do you believe Jesus is the only way to heaven? You'd be surprised how many pastors don't believe that anymore. Tell me your view about premarital sex, abortion, homosexuality. And if you get good, clear, biblical answers, there's your church. If you get, well, Christians disagree about these things, that's rather too complex for us to know. Nah. Go to a church that is biblical.
Amen.
Yeah.
Here's a letter from a viewer. I drive by an ELCA church here in Minnesota. On their sign, they have the LGBT flag next to the service hours. I used to attend this church and have friends that still go to the church. I still feel we are sisters and brothers in Christ, but they have blinders on. I wonder how to approach the subject. I have thought about writing a letter. What would you suggest? Or would you talk to them? Or do I pray for them? I've discussed this with friends from the church I now attend. They are afraid of being taken to court and being called homophobic. They too have friends that attend the church and made comments not wanting to say anything to them because it may hurt their friendship.
Well, I think they need to develop a bit of a Christian backbone. Mm-hmm. We're to be loving and kind, but we're still supposed to tell the truth. The Bible says, speak the truth in love. So I think there's a few things they could do. First of all, pray for them, of course. Because mm-hmm. A lot of people in the ELCA Lutheran Church have no idea that their offering dollars can pay for abortion, have no idea that a transgender bishop now was in the ELCA have no idea. They have practicing homosexual bishops now in the ELCA. They don't know these things. Mm-hmm. So what do you do? You pray for them, and you might want to send them to our website, pastorstudy.org. Mm-hmm. Hit the Facebook button. I've got lots of articles on what they're doing. There's also a website called, it's not mine, but somebody else's, exposingtheelca.com. Mm-hmm. And if that doesn't open your eyes about some of the craziness going on. So, yeah, pray for them. But so if people call you, as long as you're humble and loving about it, if people call you homophobic, that's their problem. Mm-hmm. So I think we need to pray for people, but I'd also pray, Lord, open a door that I may talk to Gertrude about maybe finding another church, mm-hmm. and then see what happens.
And like you said, speak the truth in love.
Yeah.
Revelation chapter 20 says Jesus will reign on earth for 1,000 years. When will that happen?
Okay. The book of Revelation, I think, is the most difficult book in the Bible to interpret. Because it's this vision that John the Apostle has on the Isle of Patmos near Greece about what's going to happen at the end of time with, you know, angels pouring buckets on the earth. And it's a vision, so we're not supposed to take it all literally. Mm-hmm. So what do you do in Revelation chapter 20 where it talks about Jesus coming down at the second coming, reigning on earth for 1,000 years, and then the devil is let out of the pit and comes and deceives some of the nations, and then there's this big war, and then finally Christ puts an end to the devil. The reason that's hard to know how to interpret is because pretty much everywhere else in the New Testament, when the second coming happens, it's over. Mm-hmm. It's the end. But here you've got this 1,000-year period. So there are three ways Christians have interpreted Revelation chapter 20, and I think you're not a heretic if you have differences of opinion on this difficult passage. All right. The first group is called the amillennialists. The millennium being the 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth. A means no in Greece, in Greek. Mm-hmm. So, and these tend to be Lutheran people. They tend to believe there's not going to be a literal millennium, but it's just the vision that's talking about the end. The second group is called the postmillennialists. Post meaning after. They believe that Christ does reign on earth for 1,000 years through the church, mm-hmm. right now, as people come to Christ through the preaching of the gospel. And then Christ comes down post-millennium at the end of the millennium and ends the world. Now, that view isn't real popular today, but it used to be much more popular. The third view, and this is quite popular, is called the premillennial view, meaning beforehand. Jesus comes down before the millennium starts. Jesus reigns on earth for 1,000 years. Then Satan gets out of it, etc. And, you know, Mona, I think I could be wrong. I tend to be in the third camp that Christ is coming down and he will literally reign on earth for 1,000 years. Mm-hmm. But I don't think people in the other two camps are, I kind of hope the amillennials are right. Let's get this over with. Mm-hmm. But there you go. Okay.
Can someone go to heaven if they have committed murder?
Mona, can you think of someone in the Old Testament who committed murder?
Moses, David.
Moses and David. Mm-hmm. And we know they're in heaven. And can you think of someone in the New Testament who committed murder?
Paul.
Paul the Apostle. Now, whether he literally committed murder, it does say in the book of Acts that when they were stoning Stephen to mm-hmm. death, Paul was approving and watching mm-hmm. their coats. And then it says this in Acts chapter 9, Saul, Paul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples. So that sounds like he really maybe did murder some mm-hmm. before he got converted. So, yeah, you know, maybe there's someone watching the show and they had an abortion. Or we get letters from people in prison and, you know, I did this. Can I be forgiven? Mm-hmm. So when Jesus died on the cross, he paid for all sins, big sins, little sins. Everything got covered by the blood of Christ. So, yes, if you've committed murder, you're sorry, you come to Christ, you put your faith in him, there is forgiveness with the Lord.
Is there any sin that is too great?
No. However, there's the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. If you are blaspheming God's Holy Spirit, rejecting the work of the Holy Spirit, saying no to the Holy Spirit and to Christ, that's the unforgivable sin.
Okay.
Yeah.
What will we do in heaven?
Well, according to the book of Revelation, again, you will worship in heaven. And we'll have perfect worship in heaven. We have partial worship on earth. When you go to church and there's wonderful worship, great as that is, it's nothing compared to what's coming. In heaven, we'll be worshiping the Lord face to face. It'll be powerful. So we'll have fullness of worship. We'll have fullness of knowledge. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, now I know in part, then I shall understand fully. So in heaven, you'll understand why your five-year-old granddaughter got killed. You'll understand predestination. All these things we don't quite get down here, we'll get it up there. So fullness of worship, fullness of knowledge, perfection of character. You and I, as Christians, we still sin because we're in this sinful nature that we got from Adam and Eve. In heaven, we won't sin at all. I remember a kid asking, well, will we be tempted? No. There's no sin in heaven. You won't be tempted. So we'll have fullness of perfection up there. I think I remember many years ago Billy Graham saying that we'll all have a job in heaven. And maybe that's true. And I don't think we'll be bored strumming on clouds and harps and stuff. But I don't know a verse that says we'll have a job in heaven. But although it does say in Luke 15 that the angel came and got the beggar and took him to heaven. So there's a little bit of a job. So there you go. Yeah.
Will we recognize our family and friends?
You know, I think you will. Because Jesus said, you will see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. So if I'm going to be able to look around the marriage feast of the Lamb and say, well, there's Abraham. And I've never seen Abraham. I think somehow God will let you know, well, there's Grandma. And also, when Jesus was transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration, it says Moses and Elijah showed up and talked to him. Somehow, Peter and James and John knew, there's Moses and Elijah from the Old Testament. Now, they'd never seen them, but somehow God let them know that. So I think you'll know your, but you won't be married, like you won't be married to your husband. Jesus said there is no marriage in heaven. You don't have to repopulate heaven by having kids because it's for eternity up there. So you won't be married to your husband, but I think you'll know there he is, you know.
What a glorious day that will be.
Amen. Yep.
At the end, will the earth be totally destroyed or will it be cleansed and renewed?
Yeah. Well, there's. Let me read this from 2 Peter chapter 3. The present heavens and earth, by his word, are being reserved for fire, kept for judgment and destruction of ungodly men. And then it says, the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in that way, what kind of people should you be in holy conduct, etc.? Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, on account of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning, and the elements will melt with intense heat. But according to God's promise, we're looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. The way I read that, everything gets destroyed. And Christ starts over with the new heavens and the new earth. We live up there for eternity in the new heavens and the new earth. There are people who believe that, yes, the elements will melt, the earth will be totally cleansed, but somehow God will rejuvenate this planet and it'll be part of the new creation. I don't think that's a heresy. That's not the way I read it. But other Christians talk about, well, the meek will inherit the earth, and maybe that's the way it's going to be done. So there you go.
Okay. The Bible says God will take care of us. So why has he allowed such horrible things to happen to me?
Well, we ain't in heaven yet. And think of Jesus. Think of the Apostle Paul who kept getting beaten up. Think of Job. My mom didn't quote many Bible verses, but I remember one verse she quoted when we were little. This is from Acts. It is through many trials and tribulations that we must enter the kingdom of God. So it's not supposed to be easy. I love the old spiritual, this world's not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasure and my hope lie far beyond the blue, where many Christian children have traveled on before, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. So I think Christians go through whatever. I mean, I'm getting old now, and I have aches and pains I didn't used to have. I remember an old secretary saying, I never ask why me. I ask, why not me? Mm-hmm. I mean, who says we're supposed to get a ticket out of suffering? So it's part of being into the fallen world. Hallelujah, heaven's coming, but it ain't here yet.
Amen. We all have trials.
Yeah, yeah.
How does a person know if he has a demon?
In the New Testament, sometimes demons had supernatural knowledge. They knew who Jesus was when nobody else did. I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Mm-hmm. Also, they could have supernatural power. The Gadarene demoniac, they'd chain him up and he'd break the chains. Mm-hmm. So supernatural knowledge, supernatural power, and then just weird stuff, and Jesus would have to cast out the strange behavior. So just strange supernatural behavior, not inspired by God, but by the devil, is an evidence of demonic activity.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what should I do if I think I have a demon?
Yeah. And you've got to ask the question, is my problem 5'9" or 9'5"? Meaning, is this just my human flesh that I have to deal with, or is this something bigger than I am? Is this a demon going on? And how do you determine that? And I don't know that there's an easy answer to that, but just, again, if there's supernatural, demonic stuff, powerful, spiritual, weird wickedness going on, that's a possibility.
Okay. Pastor Brock, where do demons come from?
Well, I think, and this is my guess, because some of this is not spelled out in the Bible real clearly, I think the fallen angels are probably the demons. There were a bunch of angels that were created good, and then they fell from favor and they fell from heaven. I think that's what became the demons. Good angels became bad.
Okay.
Yeah.
Should Christians celebrate Halloween?
Oh, absolutely we shouldn't celebrate the demonic aspects of Halloween. And, I mean, Mona, I got a picture of me at 6 years old going out the door for Halloween dressed up as the devil. Mom and Dad, what were you thinking? I don't do that to your kids. And I don't think they were being mean.
No.
They just didn't have a clue that you know, it was just a fun thing.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't. Some churches counter Halloween by having a fall festival.
Yes.
Where you come on just October 31st and everybody dresses up as one of the animals on the ark, mm-hmm. or one of the New Testament, Old Testament characters. Mm-hmm. I think that's fine to do. I'm not going to say it's a sin to let your kids go door to door. I'm not going to go that far. But I'd be very careful mm-hmm. about some of the demonic aspects and shun those.
Okay.
Yeah.
What should I do if I feel I am under attack?
Well, there's a few things you can do. Satan hates it when we worship.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I feel under attack, sometimes I start singing a worship song. Again, get a hymnal. Or you pray, of course, and sometimes you got to get another Christian and talk it out. Don't, you know, if you're scared about something, some attack, find another Christian. Say, look, something's going on. Can I tell you about it? And get prayer.
Okay.
Yeah.
What seminaries do you recommend?
Well, this show is going out all over the country, and there's all kinds of seminaries. I would definitely, for instance, not recommend the seminary I went to. It's an ELCA Lutheran seminary that's very liberal, Luther Seminary in St. Paul. There's no ELCA Lutheran seminary I can recommend anymore. Mm-hmm. They've all become very liberal. Most United Methodist seminaries I couldn't recommend. None in the United Church of Christ could I recommend. No Episcopal seminary could I recommend. I couldn't recommend any PCUSA seminaries. Now, there are still good seminaries out there. But you got to hunt them down, and one way to tell is by looking at their statement of faith mm-hmm. and see if they're still biblical or not. But it's sad that so many of these historic denominations that used to be good and biblical have gone over the cliff. Mm-hmm. And so just be careful.
Could you recommend one in Minnesota?
I could, but maybe I just won't.
Okay.
Yeah.
A friend and teacher showed me a video last week that convinced her to leave teaching. There was a woman on the stage, and she said she had a word for him. The word was Monrovia. Is this from God, or is it just smacks of the false garbage out there today?
Yeah, I think this is a woman who probably went to some meeting where a prophet was up front mm-hmm. and prophesying over people. And I believe in the gift of prophecy. It's in the New Testament, but we need to be super careful. I mean, I remember hearing of a youth group that went to an event, and the prophet was up front, and one by one, he was prophesying over all the high school students, you know, this is for you, and there's a word from you. And now, again, I can't say God can never do that, but that sounds fishy to me. Like, God's giving you a special work for each one of these high schools. Mm-hmm. You know, I just think we need to be careful. The Bible says, test the spirits to see whether they are from God. I mean, I've had people, maybe you have too, Pastor Brock, here's a word from God for you. Turned out not to be true. You got to test everything against the scripture.
Amen. My son accepted Christ years ago, but now he is living a sinful lifestyle. Won't he still be saved because he accepted Christ?
No, not necessarily. And I'm getting this from 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Paul writes this to the Corinthian church. Do not be deceived. Do you not know the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Neither the fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor robbers, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. So all those sins these people were doing, but they repented and came to Christ. Now, can you commit some of those sins after conversion? You can, but if you do, you repent. You don't live in it. And it sounds like her son or grandson is now living a sinful lifestyle. Well, but he accepted Christ 15 years ago. Jesus said, he who endures to the end will be saved. Not somebody who accepted Christ 15 years ago will be saved. You have to endure to the end of your life with faith in Christ to be saved.
Okay.
So, here you go.
Do wars and earthquakes and natural disasters mean the end is near?
You know, it doesn't. And people interpret that verse in Matthew, you know, you will hear of wars and rumors and wars, but what does Jesus say? Do not be upset. This must take place. The end is not yet. So for 2,000 years, we've had lots of plagues and earthquakes and tidal waves and everything. Jesus said that is not the end. When you see the world getting weird with, you know, tornadoes and earthquakes, doesn't necessarily mean that second coming is next.
Okay.
Yeah.
What does the Bible say will happen before the end?
I think some signs that the end is near is the Antichrist will arise, a very evil personage who will contradict everything of Christ. I think you'll see, according to, this is the way I understand Romans 11, I think a lot of Jews will come to Christ before the second coming. Jesus said the gospel of the kingdom must be preached to all the earth, and then the coming happens. So when you see the missionaries in every country in the world, and we're getting there, I think that's a sign of the second coming. So the apostasy comes first, the falling away, and it could be tonight. I don't know. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here's another letter from a viewer. Why don't they have last names in the Bible?
Well, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonas. That's Jesus talking to Peter. Bar-Jonah means son of Jonah. And so back then they didn't have, you know, Mona in her last name. They had Mona, daughter of, and Tom, son of. So that's the way they did it. It's kind of like that's the way the Vikings did it, too. You know, Leif Erik, son. So that's just the way they did that.
Okay. Yeah. If Adam and Eve were the first two people God made and they had two sons, where did their wives come from?
Yeah. The big question that unbelievers like to ask is, where did Cain get his wife? And they think that shows that, see, the Bible's nonsense. Well, look at the verse in Genesis 3 or 4. It doesn't say, it says, now Cain went to the land of Nod and sexually knew his wife. It doesn't say he got her in the land of Nod or acquired a wife. It says that he had sex with her there and had children. And so the guess is, and this isn't spelled out, so we've got a guess on this one. Adam and Eve had children, more than Cain and Abel. They had other sons and daughters. Probably in the very first family there was intermarriage. Now later, God will forbid incest. So it's a sin for a brother to marry a sister or have sex with them. But in the very first family, that hadn't been ordained yet by God, so maybe that's what happened. As some people think, well, maybe God created other people too, but I think that's a little far-fetched as well. So some of this stuff we just got to say, this is what I think, but who knows?
Okay.
Yeah.
Do Lutherans teach that we are saved by baptism? I thought we weren't saved by any human work like baptism, but only by the grace of God.
Well, I'm a Lutheran, and I believe we're only saved by the grace of God by no human work. I don't think baptism is a human work. Baptism is not something I do for God. It's something God does for me. Mm-hmm. Baptism is not legalism and me doing something. Baptism is God doing something for me. Peter says, rise and be baptized, washing away your sins. God's the one who's doing that. Mm-hmm. You know, be baptized and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Well, I'm not doing that. God's doing that. So, and it does say in 1 Peter 3, corresponding to this, Noah and the ark, baptism now saves you. Like Noah was saved out of the water through, by an ark, well, baptism now saves you out of sin. So there's a sense in which baptism saves us. Mm-hmm. Now, I know people are nervous hearing that. It's not like everybody that's baptized goes to heaven. Ultimately, Mona, when somebody says, how can I be saved? I say, only by what Jesus did on the cross. Mm-hmm. That's it, period. But read Romans chapter 6. Do you not know that as many of you as were baptized in Christ were baptized into his death? Mm-hmm. There, and but we were buried with Christ through baptism into death and then raised again. So God uses baptism to get us connected to what Jesus did on the cross 2,000 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here's another letter from a viewer. I went to a funeral and the pastor said my uncle, who didn't believe in God, was in heaven because he was baptized as a baby. Is this what you believe?
It is not what I believe. Again, when I go to a funeral and I hear the pastor or the priest put somebody into heaven because they were baptized as a baby but never have darkened the door of a church mm-hmm. for 40 years, I'm thinking, what are you... Again, Jesus said, he who endures to the end will be saved. So I think there can be a false reliance on baptism, but relying on what God has done for us in baptism, you know, that's the grace of God. Yeah.
Okay, here's another one on baptism. Why do some churches sprinkle babies when the word for baptism in the New Testament means to be totally submerged in water?
I don't. Baptizo can mean totally submerged. It can also mean washing, because some of the verses, baptizo means, Pharisees, you wash your hands. Baptizo, mm-hmm. I don't know that they're totally immersing. I don't like sprinkling either, though. I think the main thing is you get the water on you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Okay, maybe time for one more.
Okay.
The Bible says to repent and be baptized. Why do you baptize infants if they can't repent?
Well, who says an infant can't repent? Or normally they ask it, how come you baptize a baby if the baby can't believe? Well, okay. In the book, isn't it in Psalms, David says, even on my mother's breast I trusted in you? Mm-hmm. Is there some way in John the Baptist, unborn John the Baptist leaps for joy inside of Elizabeth when unborn baby Jesus comes in? So who knows that babies can't believe? But there you go. Well, everybody, thank you for this program. Thanks for sending your questions. If you'd like to watch more shows for free, just go to pastorstudy.org. Pray for us. If the Lord nudges you to support what we're trying to do, there's the website. You can do that there, and you can do that just by praying for us, though. And God bless you. See you next time.
Thank you for watching the Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write the Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.